Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. I've heard a lot about my guest today over the years, and recently his case has gotten back out there, and I'm really excited because nobody understands Section 230. Our government pretends to be dealing with it one after another, hearing, nothing ever happens. But my guest today, Jason Fick, is going to change that. He is fighting for we the people against the big media, and now honestly against the government's backing and support of the technocracy known as social media, Facebook, and others. Thank you for joining me, Jason. I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you, Mel Kay. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I have a lot of people out there that have told me great stuff about you and what you're doing, and you are proof that one person can make a difference. So if you could tell my audience a little bit about who you are and how you ended up basically being the warrior on the front lines for we the people against big tech.
Well, let's see. It started back in, I would say, 2010. I got on Facebook, started building an audience. I got very, very good at it with engagement and so forth. By 2012, I had like 17 million fans. I think at my peak, I had 38 million fans, right? This is before people, you know, this is back in the day. This is way before people had those kind of audiences.
Right.
And we could affect national trends. I mean, it was crazy what we could do.
Right.
And all we did was we made funny content, memes and so forth. Now, I've been accused of other things by Facebook that are just lies. But right. I mean, that's pretty much the way they go about things these days. So in 2016, I caught them red handed. You know, that they claim to take down content because it is offensive or objectionable in some way. And the reason for that is because of this law. It's the proper name is Title 47 USC Section 230. Most right. people just know it as 230. And if you don't know, if your audience doesn't know what that is, it was a statute written by Congress that was designed to do two things. One, it was to protect them from being treated as someone else, meaning if you put up something that's bad, they can't be held accountable for what they did was bad. Now, unfortunately, the courts took that and meant that, and they believe that that meant that even if they're involved in it. So if they put something up and then they manipulate it up, well, we didn't create it. No, but you manipulated, you developed it, right? That was the first mistake. The second part of that was it was designed to allow them to take down harmful content so that they weren't going to get sued for everything, right?
Right.
Well, that has basically metastasized into this, we can do anything.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what they did to me. Now, what I mean by that is in 2016, in October, they decided that they were going to take down six of my pages. Just
wow.
Whatever, gone. 14
and remember,
million fans.
Remember, audience, this is before this happened to everyone. He was right. like in the front lines very early. And you know, I wish people knew about it then. Maybe we could.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Is we've been at this for so many years now. I mean, I've been after Section 230 and Facebook since realistically 2014 was when they started after me. So
nobody had any idea at that point that they were doing this. It would only have to be somebody as big as you. Right. Go ahead.
The strength of social media is that it is a matter of controlling content, and it controls the nation.
Right.
If you and people that say, well, I don't even use social media, who cares? Well, those people should be really well aware that the rest of the people in this nation do.
Right.
And those people vote and those people make decisions. And if they're kept in the dark about real information, for example, the laptop, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hunter Biden's right. laptop, they don't make informed decisions because they're not informed.
Right.
So the reason we caught Facebook red-handed is because they took down six of these pages overnight, not all of my pages, but six of them.
Wow.
And they claim in some way, now they never actually said anything to me. They just said, oh, well, you're gone. And they took me down. But the point is they don't even have to make a showing of cause. They just take you down. They never said why, but it would have to fall under offensive content. In some way it was objectionable because of the regulations that Section 230 protects, right? It's objectionable somehow.
It's crazy. And you put, by the way, audience, he put up funny videos that and memes that probably everyone saw and laughed at. So it's totally crazy.
The irony is that Facebook came out and said, I have pages dedicated to urinating in public. In their pleadings. Now, meanwhile, do you know how much of that is true? None.
Right.
Nothing. Like nothing even remotely. Like it was full-blown defamatory, but in the context of a lawsuit, I can't hit him for defamatory claims. I mean, it was just flat out a lie.
Right.
And even the courts reiterated it. So I have all these pages and stuff. Oh, he had pages dedicated to you. No, I didn't. It's just is lie. So,
right.
So here's the thing. This is how we caught them. Whatever, let me just say that, let's say my content was really bad things like child pornography and also puppy dogs, right? Whatever it was, it doesn't make any difference, because here's what happened. About 4 months after they took me down, I had gone out to another competitor of mine, like somebody that was in a similar business, and he had done far better than I had growing on Facebook. Why? Because he spent $22 million in advertising.
Oh, wow.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Because Facebook's making money, right. They get far more, you know, attention. So what happened? They had reps that worked at Facebook. And I said, hey, can you see if you can get my stuff like reinstated? My page is republished. And they went to Facebook and Facebook said, nope, sorry, we can't do it for Jason. Nope. But if you guys own them, we'll reinstate them for you. Well, my pages were worth exactly zero unpublished, correct? So I sold them the pages. I sold the pages because I had no other option. I mean, they're worth nothing to me,
right?
If they're unpublished. So I sold them to the other company. And 3 days after we signed the contracts and everything was done, lo and behold, it no longer offended Facebook. It was perfectly fine. Now, here's the thing about that. Whether it was child pornography or whether it was just puppy dogs, whatever they had deemed offensive initially was no longer offensive, not based on the content, because content hadn't changed. It was my content.
Right.
And they said, oh, now it's okay. Now it doesn't violate our rules. And they came back based on who owned it and who was more valuable to Facebook. What that meant is it was all based on money, who paid them more. We caught them. Now, we sued. Now, here's where things get all sorts of weird. So we sue Facebook in 2018.
Right.
And we say, hey, look, that was unfair competition. That was illegal. That was fraud. It was extortion. You basically tortiously interfered with my business.
Right.
And then helped them out. Well, the court turns around and they grant them 230C1 immunity. Most of your audience are like, whoa, okay, what's that? Well, that's where it says that they can't be treated as the publisher of the content. Well, here's the thing. I wasn't treating them as the publisher, because who was the publisher of my content? Me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I never treated Facebook as me. But see, the thing is that the courts made one little bitty error that is fundamentally small, but foundationally gigantic. They said that I couldn't treat them as a publisher. Well, I was the publisher, and that's what the law says.
Okay.
But if you can't treat them as a publisher, even when they become one, a secondary one, that's immunity from everything. It's sovereignty. You can do anything you want. And that's exactly what happened, is he said, well, can't treat them as a publisher. Well, I wasn't treating them as the publisher, who was me, but I was treating them as them for what they did.
Right.
So it became a protection, not only from being treated as the publisher of the content, it became a protection for all their conduct, everything, which in essence actually makes it start to conflict with the rest of the statute. The whole purpose, for example, remember I said the second part of it is that they're not supposed to be held accountable if they do take down offensive content. And guess what that is? That's publishing. Therefore,
right, exactly. That's the whole
publisher,
point.
Right. What's the point of the next law? Because it is publishing. You're already protected. They don't make laws like that. So there is a fundamental flaw that no one is fixing. Like, the courts just won't do it. We've gone all the way to the Supreme Court, and not once did we get a hearing. Nothing. But see, that changed everything. And this is where the new announcements come into play that will change all of America, and it affects every single person watching this right now.
Right.
Being that the United States gives this company the ability to take down content, right? That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, well, it's private activity. It's not. It actually says any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to availability of materials, right? Well, here's the thing. It's a voluntary choice whether to do it or not. But what they have to do is any action to restrict materials, right? That's the directive from Congress. And it says, if you do this with what Congress said to do,
right,
you get immunity. Well, that means that they're voluntarily choosing to engage in state activity. It's not voluntary action. It is state action, because if they didn't follow Congress's prerogative, they wouldn't get that protection.
Right.
It's just fundamental. And there are cases like Carter versus Carter Coal Mining that have done exactly this. There is a difference between private activity and government function. In this case, they have to follow government function to get the immunity. That means all this crazy stuff I'm talking about, which I get it. It's confusing. The reason it's confusing to your audience, 26 years, it's screwed up in every single court case. Right. There's only like two or three that are actually correct. And now, what does that mean for us? Well, because the United States grants them the ability to restrict my life, liberty, or property. You ever heard of that stuff?
You know? Yes.
There's a specific amendment that says that the government can't allow any entity, even by proxy, meaning it can't be private or public. If they're granted the power to restrict my life, liberty, or property, what am I entitled to? Do you know?
Not, I mean, they're not going by that anyway. Due process. Yeah. But they
due process. The Fifth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Everybody's thinking First Amendment. And granted, yep, Section 230 is a violation of the First Amendment under what's called the substantial overbreadth doctrine. But we realize there is a cleaner path here, which is Fifth Amendment. The government allowed this company under protection of law to take my property, to wipe out my liberty, and then they protected them from suit all the way to the Supreme Court. I never got due process. I never got anything.
Right.
So because it violated my constitutional rights, it granted me the standing to go after the law itself, which is what just happened. On April 26, 2022, we filed the first ever constitutional challenge of Section 230. This is not a case against a normal plaintiff. This is a case against the law itself.
Right.
We are calling into question the constitutionality of the law, and we're suing the U.S. government.
Right.
And we're saying, hey, look, your law denies everybody of their due process rights amongst their First Amendment rights. But here it is clear as day. You gave this company the ability to take my property and take my liberty, and you won't give me a single day in court. You keep dismissing me. That's not the way this works. It's unconstitutional under the what's called the non-delegation doctrine, amongst others. But this constitutional challenge is effectively a way. It is not partisan. So don't get this in your head like, oh, well, this is a Republican fight or a Democrat fighter. No. It's simply saying this law is unconstitutional. It can't stand. It wipes out our rights constitutionally. And we have taken the time. And like you said, it's one person.
Right.
I have had basically no help. I have almost, I mean, obviously my attorneys have helped me. And I have to give them credit. Jeff Graber from Calgary Law and Constance Yu from Putterman Yu. The money ran out.
Of course.
The money ran out a long time ago.
That's the goal.
And they stuck with me. Yeah, but see, when you get tenacious, you know, attorneys and a guy like me, I don't quit.
Right.
Like, I will fight for our liberties like you wouldn't believe. I mean, because I know I've had them taken from me.
Right.
So here we are going down the spiral and they're sticking with it. We've spent years. I mean, this is not ill-conceived. This is years worth of research. And our constitutional challenge is 143 pages, just the challenge. And then with exhibits, it's like 300 pages. Oh, it's as comprehensive as you get. Why? Because some people would be like, why would you do that with a complaint? Because they have nowhere to turn.
Right.
We have made every single argument. And I implore anybody, if you want to understand 230, don't come at me and tell me how you're going to lawyer explain things to me. Trust me, I will school anybody on this one.
Yeah,
go in and read it. Well, they won't even read it. And then they'll tell you they know what it is instead of reading what we have, because I've already made all the arguments. I understand every single thing that's out there. I've thrown myself out to the Twitter wolves, you know, going up there and saying Section 230 means X, Y, or Z. Boom. They come at you hard. Why? I think they're paid to do it.
I was going to say, this is not about, first of all, you've been fighting this battle straight through everyone getting taken down for COVID or saying that the election was stolen or Donald Trump himself, or, you know, millions of people have been alienated and thrown off of Facebook and Twitter. And for me, I had something with YouTube where when my channel got purged, people still create channels as me, put up content. I haven't been on YouTube in a year, put up content as me, my content from Rumble, they'll put on YouTube and they're monetized and YouTube doesn't take it down. All I can think
of, and that has nothing to do with 230. That actually has to do with just fraud.
Yeah, it has to do with that these technocracy, these tech companies are so corrupt and they're given license by our government to literally take away people's content, take away their ability to make money, take away their free speech, all of it. And you're one guy that's actually fighting it, because why I really was excited to have you on and have my audience know what you're doing is A, one person can make a difference. B, finding lawyers that get that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness have never been more in danger than they are now. And you were fighting it straight through while the whole rest of the world realized what was going on at Facebook. You were already in the mix, which is great timing for us, because another thing that I wanted to ask you is, I know that DARPA created Facebook, okay? I know that our government funded the original LifeLog and Facebook and all of that to spy on us, basically. I've done the whole show on it. And we know that during COVID, that Facebook and other social media were given money or grants or whatever to fact check and give misinformation and disinformation. And then none of this is new. How does that play in the truth about Facebook? Does anyone admit that our government actually created Facebook, or that's not part of this?
So those are opinions that I may share, I may not share necessarily, but as far as we have to be careful, and that this is the point, is that that's unsubstantiated. There's no way to really get there. So making a claim like that is one thing, whereas what we're trying to do is go through something that is irrefutable. It is absolute. It is unconstitutional. And the reason, you know, that I think that plays out of that is that, like, for example, everybody argues publisher argument, right? Publisher, are they a publisher or are they a platform?
Oh, right.
It's funny because I'm not recalling it because I don't ever do that anymore. But I'm going to dispel this for some of your audience because, you know, I have a lot of people that, you know, they try to trash me and say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I can tell you that Congressman Gohmert came out on April 27th publicly in front of a live press audience and basically supported it. He's read this and he said that they will full-blown give us amicus support and everything if we need it, because it still stands to question whether or not the AG of the United States will actually come oppositional to us, because that'll tell you whether President Biden wants to keep 230 or won't, because he'll send the AG or he won't, right? And so all of this is going on in Congress. We did it in front of all of the mainstream media. Do you know how many reported it? None.
I only saw it on like Ann's show and two others.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It should be on every news channel. And this, like you said, this is not a left or right issue. And it's not right or left or whatever division you have that has had this happen to them at Facebook. It's across the board. It should bother everyone. And why they treat these technology companies or tech companies different than the average person or the average citizen is so disturbing. We talked about like the hiding of the Hunter Biden laptop and taking down anyone that mentioned it, removing their pages, removing them for months, banning them. I mean, I know people, I'm off Facebook because as soon as I realized that Meta was the dystopian future they want for us, I said, I want no part of it. And
off air.
It's actually hard to get off of Facebook. I had to request to get off of Facebook.
Off air, we'll talk about Meta and so forth. But but I think there's a theory in there too. Because remember, this constitutional case will undermine all of them. Because let me go back to the platform publisher argument. I'm going to dispel something for the entire nation.
Good.
So, you know, the vernacular is publisher and platform, but that's not actually how the law, you know, claims it. In the law, it calls them an interactive computer service provider. And we can just shorten that into service provider. Or it calls them an information content provider. Okay. So we just call that a content provider. So they're either a service provider or a content provider, not a publisher, not a platform. The question is, do they provide the service or do they provide the content? Okay. That's really the division in 230. So here's the thing about, you said about fact checking. This is really important. A content provider is actually defined. There is a definition right there. It's under section 230F3. And it says a content provider, an information content provider, is any person or entity responsible in whole or in part, so insignificantly is fine, for the creation, which of course we know that's making content, or development of information provided online.
Right.
Now, development is anything after it's already been created, right? So like, for example, if an editor is deciding which information to provide, right? Like they're getting it from the writers and they're saying, okay, well, we're going to put this in. they're developing that information. They're progressing it forward. It's an advancement. Okay. Right. So I'm going to break this down for you. When this clicks, you go, whoa, here's the argument. So if they're providing information in any way, shape, or form, meaning they're advancing it, promoting it, sponsoring it, boosting it, or developing it, right, they are the content provider. Okay. Now, let's think about fact-checking for a moment. Okay. For example, Facebook says we identify content that might be misinformation. Right. Okay. So they've decided which information it is. They then send it out to third party. Right. Why are they saying third party? Because they want to separate it from their actions, right? They send it to third party fact checkers to rate the information false. Now, who pays those companies? Well, that's right, Facebook. So right, Facebook is paying a company to rate it false and then provide additional information. Listen to the word, provide additional information, and they stick it back in the newsfeed. Right. And they say, your information is wrong. This information is correct. So they pay a company to create information and then develop it by advancing it into the newsfeed. And then they say, well, we're not a content provider.
Right. And they're manipulating.
By definition.
Yeah. And there's also this propaganda mind control that they all came up with. I understand how they do this, that by debunking it, even if it's totally real, and they put their little fact checker thing on there, like Poynter Institute or News, one of them, you know, Snopes, all these people. And they're all also funded by George Soros and other people on that, in that same realm, that think that free speech should be what they want it to be, but it shouldn't apply to everyone, which they're trying to push now with the truth ministry that's coming. But
it gives them an out to right, say, oh, well, they saying. Said it was wrong. You don't know what you're talking about, rather than critically think about the idea and go, oh, wait, that's right.
And then your average person that's just scrolling down will see, like, say, hydroxychloroquine works for prevention of whatever. And then it'll big thing from like one of the Poynter Institute or Arabella Partners own fact checkers or whatever. And it'll say, you know, this has been debunked. And sadly enough, most people don't read beyond the headline.
Correct.
And they just immediately assume that. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of people that will not even look at why it's debunked, who debunked it, and what are they debunking? Because if you look at some of the fact checker things and you actually read them, they're not even debunking the information a lot.
No.
But the big thing that they put on there, because I
out of context.
Right.
Is a good example. It's like out of context. Meaning it's right, but in one context, it might be considered wrong.
And it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous because most people get their news now. I was also kicked off of Twitter, but it's made my life much better. Though I am on Truth Social now, so I'm hoping for the best.
But let me go back to what you were saying. You were saying that, you know, how do they get away with this? And the point here is that all of that is content provision. And the point of Section 230 is, and that's why I said we have to look at real world things, not hypotheticals. Here, the site itself cannot be the content provider, or it has no protections at all.
Right.
It says the content has to be provided by another, but it's all provided by them. If they're making decisions as to what to provide, they're providing, they're developing the information in part. But this leads me to one other debunk that will blow everyone's mind. And this is where the courts are going to have a real problem trying to figure this out. Okay, are you ready for this? So if they choose information, they're providing it, correct? They're developing the information in part. Okay, so here's the thing. If the second portion of the law, right, which was 230C2 and C2A specifically, it says, any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of materials that they consider lewd, lascivious, and let's just skip it and say objectionable.
Right.
Right. So now here's the thing. The provider or user considers, and they can restrict anything that the provider or user considers. Okay. Now, if I were to ask you, okay, there's a lot of things on the table, right? And you get to choose what you don't want on the table, what you're allowed to restrict, whatever you consider is bad. By proxy, meaning the flip side of this coin, because if you're deciding what's bad, what are you also deciding?
What's good.
What's good.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're, cons- If you're considering what to remove or restrict, they are by proxy also deciding what to develop.
Right.
So here is where it gets into a confusing part and why nobody has been able to get this right. Here is the origin problem. Okay. If they are considering what to remove, they're considering what to develop in part. If they're developing information in part, they're the content provider. If they're the content provider, the content isn't provided by another. It's provided by them. If they can't provide it by them, well, then they can, you see the loop I just created?
I see the loop.
They can actually provide information, but not provide information simultaneously. And they call that something in law. You know what they call that? An irreconcilable statutory conflict, meaning within the statute, it conflicts with itself. It makes no sense and there's no way to rectify it because it goes around in a circle.
Right.
And
plausible deniability. They say it's not me. It was like the News Pointer Institute or Politico or Fact Checker Reuters. But it's them sending them the content. So it's totally fraudulent.
To launder it through a third party. And they're trying to get it to a third party proxy. Right. And that's just it. That's all they've done is the government has laundered free speech control to private entities. Yes. And those private entities have control, have laundered content provision to third parties. It is a proxy progression that they've just handed down the power to somebody else and said, hey, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
It's government sanctioned propaganda is what it is. It's it's deception on such a major level. And once it goes out to this amount of audience that they have, here's my question. Who wrote Section 230? Who wrote this?
Chris Cox and Ron Wyden.
Real heroes of free speech. I can see that. And I know that they think that they, they're still fighting this out loud, but they're not fighting anything because they just keep going in circles. And I wonder how many people lobbied behind them putting this bill in, because, you know, they've done a tremendous amount of damage to this country by what you're talking about. And they're not being held accountable because of this.
Keep in mind, Mel, times were different. This law is, right. And I want to put this in context for everybody. This law was written 26 years ago, 1996. Okay. In 1996, I think that they were doing the right thing. I mean, Ron Wyden has an op-ed and he talks about providing a sword and a shield. Those are his words. Okay. And the shield is very simple. That's Section 230(c)(1), that they're protected from the content of another. Right. And then there's a shield which allows them to take down specifically bad content. And in the time, remember, morality was very different 26 years ago, right?
Yeah.
At the time, it was all well-intentioned. It actually could be a good law, except for the fact that what they didn't realize is that in doing so, in giving them a sword and shield, they didn't realize the shield was also a sword.
Right.
So what has happened is they've given them a shield with a sword and a sword.
And
so all they're doing is taking down content at will, however they want, without any kind of due process, without following the congressional prerogative. So I don't think it was their intention.
Right.
But it is a result of sophisticated companies and good lawyers on their part who have confused the courts. That's the court. Like, for example, I'll give you a really good one that we're dealing with right now. Right. Our Ninth Circuit Court, right, has one simple question in front of it. And this is how simple it is. Does the Good Samaritan general provision, otherwise known as the intelligible principle, does that apply to the entire statute? Well, it's right there in 230C, the header. It says protection for Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive materials. Facebook is arguing that that doesn't apply to 230C1, which falls under C, but it applies to 230C2. And any rational person knows that if you read an outline, you've got C, C1, C2.
Exactly.
Has to apply to the whole statute. And I will tell you this, nobody's paying attention to this case, like not at all. But do you understand that if the court finally applies Good Samaritan to the entire thing? I was actually speaking with Susan Prager the other day.
Right.
And Susan was like, oh my, like we could have argued this in our YouTube case. And I said, you could have, because the Good Samaritan provision says the first threshold question for any lawsuit is, did they act as a good Samaritan?
Right.
That changes everything automatically because, wait, if they acted in their own self-benefit, whether that to be to push a the COVID thing,
right,
to push anything that would make them money. If they're not acting to the benefit of others, right, now they'd have to make that argument. You would immediately lose Section 230 entirely.
Yeah.
It's a threshold question that has never been really asked. Enigma versus Malwarebytes is the first one to bring it forward. And the court didn't really apply it to the whole statute. That's what we're trying to do right now.
Right. And the big, and another question here, which is goes back to how corrupt and swamp-like the entire system is it was written 26 years ago before Facebook and Twitter were out there, before right. we knew who was running Facebook and Twitter. It's certainly the technology and everything has advanced so much. The whole fact-checking and then having our government involved also in different ways, whether we can prove it or not, it's very obvious. And the truth is, why should a statute written 26 years ago not have been updated with time? Anyway.
If it had been applied narrowly by the courts, it might have worked. It might have. But unfortunately, people don't understand. It's not simply just what the law says. I mean, Justice Thomas himself said that the law has been read outside of the text, meaning they didn't read it for what it physically says. For example, if you can't treat them as a publisher, as I said before, they can't be held accountable for anything. In fact, that it's basically sovereignty, but that's not what the law says. The law says the publisher, and the publisher is the pre-existing publisher, which is me in my case, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now that makes sense, because then what happens is, well, then they can't be treated as someone else. And that's, it's converted into, they can't be treated as themselves. So if it's not so just crazy. The law, that's the thing, is this is so much more complex than people realize. It's not just how the law is written. It's not just 230. It's the combination between the law's vagueness, right, and the court's interpretation to be even vaguer. Right. So now it's become what they call substantially overbreath. And that is the First Amendment argument, which is to say that it does more to hurt free speech it does to protect it. And right. that is when you get into arguments where it's like, no, this statute shouldn't stand. I implore people, and I just want to take a moment to explain this. We formed the Social Media Freedom Foundation. I formed it. There are several of us, and I would welcome you, Mel, to
help us out here. Lots of great people involved.
It is a 501c3 tax deductible charity organization. We need financial support. I've basically taken the entire burden of this on myself.
Good for
5 years.
Well, somebody had to. Somebody.
If we hadn't, we would probably, free speech will not exist online, because they're not working towards free speech. They're working towards the Ministry of Truth.
Right.
And that is the point of what we're fighting for. And like why I said, it's not partisan. We are a 501c3.
I know.
We are nonpartisan. We just want to restore freedoms, our basic constitutional rights, you know, because they don't stop where the internet begins. Like it continues on.
Right.
And I would suggest to anybody, go on there. There is an executive summary on there. Now, reading the entire constitutional case, well, if you're a lawyer, go read the whole case. It is actually on there as well under the document section. But for the layman, for the non-attorney, we have tried to explain this in a way that everybody can understand it. And if you read, it says revoking Section 230 executive summary. It is about 20 pages, 40-minute read, give or take. But it will explain this in a way that anybody can understand it.
Yeah.
And I would implore everybody, go there, share that, because that right there is what the government doesn't want you to know. It's, nobody wants you to know how this thing really works. They want to just say, oh, it's private activity. They can do whatever they want. No, they can't.
No,
they actually can't.
And it's just a matter of thousands of people, honestly, have gone through what you've gone through and just given up. Instead of saying, like you're saying, like your foundation is saying, I know David J. Harris is hands on it. A lot of great people are on there. There have been hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have experienced what you experienced. Mm-hmm. And because the other side and this is such a beast and such a machine, and the tech companies have so much money and these lawyers that's all they do. Okay. People don't fight back. And that's how we ended up in the 2 years of COVID and the election and kicking off Trump and all that. That's how they're getting away with it, because good people like you are walking away saying, well, I lost Facebook and my entire business and all of my contacts and everything I built, but there's nothing I can do, is what people say over and over. And if you go to your website, anyone who's watching this, any lawyer who's watching this, look at what they're doing. Look at what happened. Because if we had more people joining your team, standing up behind you, filing their own lawsuits, if they can, lawyers getting involved, you know, educating judges, because I mean, that's the biggest problem, is that judges unfortunately. They seem very political, and this isn't political. This is
half of them are too old to actually be using social media. They just read what the problem is. Where they're relying on case precedent, which Justice Thomas himself said is questionable. It's wrong. Right. It has been almost since the very beginning. Zoran versus America Online got it wrong. Right. And from then, they built bad precedent upon bad precedent. And we're saying, no, the case has to look at this whole de novo, which means anew. And they need to look at it from the very start of like, look, this is how it's built. This is the kind of law it is. This is how it can be fixed. But I can't be the only one doing this. Like, right. I mean, I am.
And you know what? You're the only reason you're the only one doing it. There has to be like some kind of God or something that you're not going to give up, because there are hundreds of thousands of people out there that should be doing the same thing. First of all, we are not going to take back our country, reinstall the actual constitution as the law of the land, if people aren't fighting, because our government's not. And they see how many times have we had them up there, these stupid hearings, committee hearings with the tech guys. And they
They're
just
figureheads.
Talk, I know. And they talk in circles. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, till next time. Well, next time has turned into propaganda machine, phony fact checkers, lying to the public, mind control, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know that John Stossel, whom I think is awesome, he sued Facebook and won. And what they had to admit was that their fact checkers are just opinions. Mm-hmm. So again, on top of everything,
content
else,
provision.
Right.
It's literally they people don't realize that the bigger thing there was that it's not just opinion. They are, let's go back to it, developing information by proxy, which means they are actually responsible for their own content, and the courts won't put that in place and say, oh, wait a second. You mean if you are fact-checking, you're actually providing content?
Right.
And therefore responsible for that content?
I mean, it just makes sense. It's not that somebody is protecting these people on a very high level. And if we, the people, and people like you, which you're leading the way, and I strongly encourage every single person watching this to go to their website. We'll give you it in a second and get involved, because you are not alone. And I know so many people, for whatever reason, got their pages taken down, and they were running businesses. And this isn't just on Facebook. It's also on Instagram and the whole beast that they run. And it's also destroyed a lot of lives and reputations, because when you're fact checking John Stossel, and he's like one of the only legitimate, straight up, nonpartisan investigative journalists in America, and he fought back. But again, he had to, because again, different than you, they're saying that his work is fraudulent, and it's not.
Right.
And
it's defamation.
Yeah. And half the people that saw the debunking of his work, just like I just saw it with Laura Logan recently, and I'm like, shut. They're also harming reputations. They're harming livelihoods. They're harming, and they're really, and it's all for whatever gain they're getting, be it monetarily.
Correct.
Or kissing
it's
up.
It's their agenda,
right?
And their content providers by proxy. I keep right. trying to get everybody to understand.
So true.
Stop with the publisher platform.
Right.
They are the content providers. They're being immunized for their own content provision, which is not at all what Section 230 is supposed to protect, but the courts haven't figured that out yet. That is what we are trying to force to happen in this constitutional claim.
Yeah.
And like I said, and like you even said, I can't do this alone. And they're figureheads. They come out there, 230 is bad and child pornography is bad and all, but then they never do anything.
No, it's a political stunt.
Well, see, here's the difference between them and what we're saying with me is right. that no, I'm not getting any attention. You know why? Because I'm actually doing the work.
Well,
I'm doing the job
them.
To fix it.
Right.
Right. I'm not sitting there claiming anything. I'm just doing it.
Yeah. And you know what, though? This whole immunity BS is ridiculous, because now people, you know, didn't know either that the vaccine manufacturers get immunity, and the people that are pumping information into your head through Facebook are getting immunity. And these other guys get, and they, you know, and over here, these NGOs are getting immunity. And you're thinking, why is anyone getting immunity? Behavior should be you know, moral, have integrity, all of that. And if it doesn't, you should be able to challenge it anyway.
If you read in our constitution, Alan, it says immunity from suit, immunity from anything should be a power of the sovereignty of the government itself, and only the government.
Right.
No one else should have immunity. And it is because of exactly this. When they're granted immunity, they will act however they want, whenever they want. I mean, they could put out cyanide and call, you know, one of these pharmaceutical companies, stick cyanide and everything and say, hey, it's the basic headache medicine and kill half the nation.
Right.
And there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
Facebook wants it on there, they're going to leave it on there and not fact check. It's just like hydroxychloroquine could have kept, in my opinion, could have kept a lot of people out of the hospital, and they didn't, and they fact checked it or erased it and took down all these doctors that were just trying to say there's options. I mean, that should be enough. Or, you know, just, it's happened to so many people. It happened to you early and you started this fight. If somebody started the fight now without the groundwork you've built, it would be nearly impossible. But you've gone out and you've built the groundwork for anyone out there that is still suffering from this, because there are people, like I said, that lost businesses, reputations, all of that. But you know what? It's also, it's getting worse. It's not getting better.
Well, you make a good point though. The groundwork that we just did.
Yeah.
We don't even have to win this necessarily. The constitutional challenge is something that is readable, meaning we have basically what we did was a college doctorate thesis. We studied and researched everything there is to know about 230. So the point is the foundation is something that if you or anyone you know is looking to sue big tech,
right,
have your lawyers read this, because they can make like the subtle arguments that we're making, each and every individual one in different circumstances, because we address all of them. We address how it's content provision. We address how all of the different things interact and so forth. And each and every individual suit could use pieces of the foundation to build a new building.
Right.
To build a whole new platform of the way this works.
Right. And the good part about what you've done is, again, you've made it very readable on your website that anyone can understand it. It doesn't matter if you had a sixth grade education or you have a PhD. Right. Or you're a lawyer or a judge, you laid it out. The case is a different thing that can be read by lawyers or people that understand the law and all that. But the how you lay out the facts,
the summary,
anyone can understand. And I everyone that's watching this needs to go to this website. I know I get so many emails. I know myself. People have been damaged by these companies on a mass scale, and they're getting away with it by manipulating the language, the laws, all of that. And it's not going to stop, because before we finish, I wanted to ask you. So we have a new truth ministry in America coming about, which isn't a surprise, because most people don't know that Cass Sunstein was the truth minister under Obama. So this is not new. They just have they've gone to a level where they don't care anymore that it's unconstitutional. Correct. They're not trying to hide it under some kind of committee or you know, name of a new cabinet or whatever. They're just coming straight out with it. So the girl, this 33-year-old, I guess she wanted to be in musical theater is my guess, and she ended up at Georgetown. But so they picked this girl, and she's on a Zoom call yesterday that leaked with her new truth ministry, and she's saying that she wants the ability to go in and edit people's content without their permission, without their ability, again going back to what you're fighting for. And this is
constitutionally, that is direct straight at, because everybody says, oh, well, the state action argument has been fought and lost. And here's the thing. That's direct state action. That is actually the state itself getting involved in the content. So essentially that's outside forces to Section 230. Okay. And what we're saying here is that argument has lost in the past, because they say just saying, hey, look, can you do this is not enough. In the case of I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but there was somebody that fought where he was actually taken down as a candidate because the state told him to.
Right.
That was outside state action, and it was deemed state action. What she's talking about doing is outside state action. However, what we're saying here is, no, the directive is actually internal in the statute. It's right there of what to do. You can take any action to restrict materials that are offensive, that they say is lewd, lascivious, and so forth. That's the directive from Congress. They can choose whether to do it or not. So the state action is actually implicit in the actual statute.
Right.
They want to do it outside. They're just throwing everything out the door and saying, hey, look, do what we tell you to do.
Yeah, we're in a total state of no law and order, no constitutionality, all of that. And if it's not for people like you, we the people are not going to turn the ship around. The people have to do it. And I really admire what you're doing. And I know a lot of people are backing you, and I want you to stay in touch with us. And I want people to support you, because here's the problem with anything like what you're doing. People don't understand the amount of money that a lawsuit costs, and that lawfare, the way that they play it on the other side, that they're going to just keep throwing things at you, hoping that you give up because you run out of cash. And it is so and they will never run out of money, because they're the government, or they're backed by lobbyists or whatever. So that's another thing. When I have found people that need support financially, especially, in lawsuits, the American people have to understand if one man, like as David and Goliath, as Jason is being, can do this, anyone can do it. But they can't do it because the beast on the other side is unlimited money. Their lawyers know how to prolong everything till you bleed you dry financially. No matter how good your case is, at some point, most people end up going bankrupt, and that is their goal. So tell everyone where they can go. And please, if you have anything like what happened to Jason, his was on a massive scale. We're talking millions and millions of followers that they stole from him, in my opinion. But no matter what scale, you go to his website, you look at it. Also, especially for lawyers out there that know that this is wrong, that watched all the content moderation in the last few years, the fake fact checkers, the taking down of pertinent information that could have saved lives under the guise of the opposite. If you are a lawyer out there and feel like you want to get involved in the fight, you should also read the brief, read all the paperwork. They have it all there. This is a fight we can win. But honestly, if it's not we, the people, with people like Jason fighting it, it will just get worse and worse and worse until there is no platform for people that they deem misinformation, disinformation, they deem, which isn't reality and isn't constitutional. So Jason, tell everyone where they can find you and how they can help.
So it's fairly simple. It is the Social Media Freedom Foundation, and you can find us online at socialmediafreedom.org. Again, that's socialmediafreedom.org. And on there is donation links. You know, you can reach out to us directly. We don't have a big staff. We don't have a big budget. But, you know, we are, as you said, people need to recognize we are literally, you know, I hate the cliche, the tip of the sword, but that is really what it is. All I have to do is punch a hole. Once we punch the hole,
exactly,
everything comes behind it, because litigation is the biggest deterrent to unlawful actions. And these companies would finally be open, because everybody says, oh, well, they'll get sued for everything. No, they can't. They can only be sued for things that are unlawful. Right. And the thing is the only thing that Section 230 does right now, if you think about it, is protect them from unlawful stuff.
Right.
Why is that? It doesn't make any sense. So yeah. Again, go to socialmediafreedom.org. If you can spare $5, you know, yeah, it all adds up over
helps
time.
In these cases, I mean, it's ridiculous how much they're trying.
Because we don't have the big backers. We don't have the big attention, and I never will. Because I mean, I have people come to me, and I mean, think about how, I mean, I'm sorry, but this is kind of a dumb argument. They come to me, why don't you go crowdfund it? Oh, I'm going to do that on social media, aren't I?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Like, I'm not going to get that.
Into my head. Do you know about, I used to follow, before whatever happened to him, John Perry Barlow. He had that foundation where he was trying to do an internet bill of rights and all this. He was trying to fight this too, I think. And also another guy, the young guy from Reddit, he was also trying to fight this battle. So this Goliath on the other side is way bigger than people think. It is not Zuckerberg.
Far larger, right. I know what I'm up against. But the good news now is that we actually have congressional support. I mean, Congressman Gohmert absolutely threw himself in this and said, whatever you need, you've got it from our help. And he's going to rally some other. And it is not just Republican. I mean, this is a Democratic fight as well. This is a matter of either Congress steps up with me, because we can, if we accomplish what we set out to accomplish, which is fix 230C1, sever and strike Section 230C2. Right. The power goes back to Congress to set what is impermissible.
Right.
And even in that circumstance, it doesn't say that they can take down impermissible speech. What it does is it sets the parameters of what is protected from liability when it's taken down. That's right. All it would do. And in that circumstance, congressional leaders that want to do this, get in with us. Reach out to Congressman Gohmert's office on our behalf. You don't have to find me. Go to Congressman Gohmert's office. Get in with him. Support the striking of this. Break, because we're trying to break the stalemate. They won't repeal it because they can't get the votes. And we're saying, no, the judiciary can strike it, get rid of it, and then we can fix it.
Yep.
And even then, I've even started to rewrite the bill properly.
Good.
Again, everybody introduces all these crazy bills, and they're all based on the foundation that won't work anyhow.
Yeah, they're just politicians anyway. We the people, I keep saying to everyone, people, what can I do? What can I do? They're stealing our country. They have Ministry of Truth. They're putting out DHS memos about misinformation, disinformation, and people that spread it being domestic terrorists, you know, and who's deciding what's real and what's not? It's these people writing a narrative. It's got nothing to do with truth or what's right and wrong. It's no morality, no integrity. If you want to fight, you got to fight we the people on the front lines. And Jason is doing that. Please, if you have, I think everyone should go to his website and and read the information there, it is somewhat infuriating to realize that this is how they got away with it. But I think everyone in the last 2.5 years has been affected. I don't care what side you're on. And you know what? If they're taking down Donald Trump and content about from doctors and content about anything, that laptop, whatever, Jason's content, they're coming for yours too. So we really need to step this up with their truth ministry. We got to fight back, and it's up to we, the people. Thank you so much, Jason. We're putting links below. Please keep in touch with me. Let me know when things evolve. I think they're going to move faster now. I know you had a big press conference. Louis Gohmert is involved. Other people want to get involved. We, the people, need to take back this country. And this is a big step forward. So thank you, sir. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Mel. Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Patriot pals, Mel Kay here. The controlled demolition of the economy by the private Western Central Bank and the Biden regime-backed World Economic Forum Great Reset can no longer be denied or ignored. Consumer prices are skyrocketing. The Fed is raising rates. Inflation jumped 7% this year alone. That's a 40-year high. Now is the time to go full steam ahead to protect your hard-earned savings, 401ks, and IRAs by diversifying your assets by investing in gold and silver. Please visit our friend Andrew and his team at Beverly Hills Precious Metals at melkgold.com. That's melkgold.com. And he'll help you put together a personalized financial plan to maintain your security and sovereignty no matter what comes ahead. Protect yourself and your assets for the future. Please do not be left behind. Now is the time.
If the last 18 months have taught us anything, it's that you have to take control of your own health. You can't rely on the government or Big Pharma. That's where Z-Stack comes in. Z-Stack is a specially formulated supplement that includes zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Formulated by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, the world-renowned doctor that President Trump credited with his decision to take hydroxychloroquine. Go to MelKDrZ.com and order today. That's MelKDrZ.com.
Hey, Patriot pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to the MelKShow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.